voice of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. The eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. Good evening, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Trust that you are doing well. And by the grace of God, we're here to serve Him, to receive a blessing, but to also be a blessing. Amen. Praise God. It's good to receive a blessing, but can you be a blessing at the same time? You say, well, whoa, 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 whoa. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't have been good for that bass guitar. Praise the Lord. Nothing but the devil. I'm not calling you the devil, Richard. It's the devil. Amen. So, just try to distract. This is what he likes to do, right? That's all he likes to do. Amen. He just wants to distract. Draw our attention from the important thing, from the main thing, which is his word. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening, and then we'll just continue. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for the opportunity that we have to hear, open back the pages of your word. Lord, we know, Lord God, that we're insufficient within ourselves, Lord Jesus. But Father God, we know that you, being the author of your word, Father God, you can teach us, Father God, your word, because you are the author, Lord. Father God, if we wanted to know, Father God, Shakespeare's, what he wanted to say in his plays, Lord God, Lord Jesus, we would just have to read his plays, Lord. Maybe if he was still here alive, Lord God, we could talk to him and ask him what he meant in certain areas. But Lord Jesus, he's not here, but your spirit is here, Lord God. You are here, Father God. You're still alive, Lord Jesus. That tomb, Lord God, that grave, Father, is empty, Father, in Jerusalem tonight. And Lord God, we serve in a living God tonight, Lord. And Father God, we come, Lord, and you being the author of your word, Lord. Father, when there's something we don't understand, Lord God, we can come and ask you, Father, because you are the author of your word, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, is who we come to this evening. And we ask that you would have your way here tonight. Speak through our lips, Lord God, something that would help to encourage the people. And you just continue to bless and be with the requests amongst us, Father God. And Lord Jesus, have your way, Father, in our lives, Lord, we ask. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to talk tonight about bad news is good news. Amen. I know that kind of sounds a little strange, but in God's eyes, bad news is good news. Because it's an opportunity for him to show himself. Amen. God. Amen. Sometimes we receive bad news and we take it as something scary and something that Some of us, we just can't handle it. Everything's got to be good all the time. But when bad news strike and bad news comes along, hey man, what are you going to do? That's your time for you to shine right there. And to have confidence in a God who is the God of the good and the God of the bad times. As the song goes, the God of the good times, the God of the valley is the God of the mountain. Amen. So we want to talk a little about this tonight. And if we could just read in Psalms chapter 112. Psalms 112. And the Bible says this. It says, and we'll just read the whole chapter because it's only 10 verses. I want us to concentrate here on verse 7 and 8. Psalms 112 says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. I believe that can apply with what Brother John was talking to us this past Sunday. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid. Now, who is he talking about? Not about himself. He's talking about this man. Blessed is this man. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Amen. In other words, of bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. I want you to notice how the Lord doesn't say his mind is fixed, or his brain, or his attitude is fixed, but his heart. Because this has to do, and as Brother Bob has been speaking to us lately, it's a heart condition. The way we respond to things and to situations that come in about our life. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's a heart condition. You respond when you are fixed and when you are fully trusted in God. Amen. Bad things will happen. We know bad things will happen. We can't avoid them. Problems are not eternal. That's the good thing about it, though. They don't have eternal life. They have a beginning and they have an end. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. But problems will come. But it's the way you respond to the problem. Amen. That tells you where you are spiritually. Amen. Naturally, we're going to be afraid, naturally. But, amen, where is your heart at? See, in your mind, you're going to be afraid. And you're going to react and maybe possibly want to have knee-jerk reactions. But, amen, where is your heart at? And if your heart's fixed on the Lord, amen, that won't shake you. That won't move you. Amen. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies or upon his problems. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. You may have your seats this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So like I said, you know, bad news is part of life. We can't avoid it. There's no way around it. Problems will come. Amen. But problems will also go. Amen. Problems come and go. Amen. But the son and daughter of God with eternal life, amen, that remains forever. He or she remains forever. Praise God. And we know that bad news is all around us. We know it. I mean, we see it. All you can do is you turn on the news and even turn on your phone and you look at the news and it's there. It's bad news everywhere, all around us. No matter what network you like to look at, bad news is there. Bad news is all around us. I remember there was this little site one time. It was called happynews.com. If you wanted something alternative from CNN or Fox News or whatever, You could go to happynews.com, and it would always be just happy news. Something that would help you to just kind of give you a little smile for during the day and not make you frown and be scared. Now, I don't know if the site is now still up or not, but last time I checked was a couple of years ago. It was still up, but it wasn't updated for a long time. Too many bad news took over. Happynews.com. But it's good to hear, you know, when somebody gives you something happy, you know. Amen. Gives you good news. Amen. And then sometimes you hate it when they come and tell you, now, do you want the bad news first or the good news? And you're like, you don't even know what to decide, you know. Just don't tell me anything. But you see, God allows us, amen, to have situations and to have bad things happen in our lives. Amen. And it's for the purpose for him to eventually get the glory. Amen. Amen. And for you to learn a lesson, or for you to see the power of God in your life like you have never seen before. Amen. It could not come in any other way but through those bad news. And so it takes a negative, amen, in order for us to be able to see a positive, amen. You know, I used to work in photography when we still took pictures with film. And we would go into a dark room to develop the film. We'd take the film and develop it in the dark room. And we had these trays of liquids, different liquids that you would take that film and you would put the film in there in this liquid first. Leave it in there for a certain amount of time. It's got to be dark. And it's got to be red and spooky in there and everything. Right, yeah. And you're just in there by yourself. Yeah. And that's how you were able to eventually, then you would take the place the film from this liquid to this liquid. It was like three or four liquids. Finally, it was rinsed in water, and then you let it sit to dry. That would develop the negative. That was only just to develop the negative. And you still had to develop a positive area in order to really see what the color or what was in the image. But that was only to develop the negatives. It's not like nowadays, you know, you just take the picture on the phone and everything is right there instantly. That's how it was back then. But it went through those processes in order to develop the full picture. Amen. All right? It went through the process of being in a dark, scary room, all red light. It was scary and sometimes cold and you were in there by yourself. But see, me knowing what I was doing, amen, that film didn't have to worry. I knew what I was doing, and I knew where to put it so that it would develop the picture right the way it needed to be, man. And that's how God is. If we just let him do, amen, what he wants to do in our lives, amen. It can be scary. We're in a dark room. This is a dark world that we live in. But God ultimately is the one who's in control, amen. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. It never did and it never will. It's always on time, amen. And nothing, amen, he will never put nothing on you than what you can handle, amen. Amen. And eventually the whole picture will come out crisp, clear, and it won't just be a negative, because in order for us to have a full picture, you have to have a negative in order to have a positive. Amen. You have to have both to get the full picture. So you have to have the good times and you have to have the bad times. There is no other way around it. That's how God designed it in this life. And unfortunately, in this life in the world that we live in, is how it is. Amen. I wish everything was always nice and dandy and happy, but it's not the case. Amen. But that's how we react to these situations in life. Amen. So God's attributes, amen, we know that they're manifested through these negative times in our lives. Amen. And that's how God decides. That's how he wanted to have it done. And he will continue to do so until we get a body change and leave. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. This earth, amen, one time had a positive. It was totally positive. Now it's going through a negative area, amen, but it had to have both in order to have a full positive look to it again in the millennium. In the millennium and so forth, it will be renewed completely. Amen. Everything will come back to the way it was in the original. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. There's something in us that yearns for that. And it's yearning in us because it's out there for us. We wouldn't be yearning for eternal life, and we wouldn't be yearning for when we see death and we desire life, amen. We wouldn't be yearning for those things if that wasn't there for us. But we know it's there for us, amen, because we're yearning for it, amen. So that's how God works, amen. We can look in the Bible at different examples of when people receive bad news in the Bible. We take a look, for example, at Queen Esther. Amen. When she heard about that about the Jews, that they were going to be killed, and it was a decree that the king, her own husband, had decreed by the hand of Haman. And she heard the news, and Mordecai told the servants to tell the queen that your people are in danger. Amen. What did Esther do? I'm sure she got afraid. I'm sure she got, but she got busy seeking the Lord. Amen. Amen. What is it that we do when we hear bad news? Amen. What do you do? Do you seek the Lord, or do you seek what's in front of you? What I can touch, or what I can feel? The pills, where are they at? The vitamins, where are they at? The doctor, I need to call him. Amen. Or do you seek the Lord? Amen. Esther got to seeking the Lord. Yeah. I'm not telling you don't call your doctor or don't seek the pills. Amen. Amen. But first and foremost, it's got to be the Lord, because he is the healer. The pill is not. Amen. He is the healer. The vitamin is not. Amen. He is the one. He said that I'll heal all thine diseases. Amen. The pill never gave you that confidence. The pill only relieves your pain for about 6 hours. God takes it away from you completely. Amen. Praise God. So Esther got down. Amen. She got too busy, and she said, call a fast. Call all the Jews to pray. Amen. And I'm going to find out what's going on. And she got busy praying. Amen. I wonder how we do sometimes. I'll be the first one to tell you I fail at that many times. I seek for the easier thing, the easier solution, instead of seeking, amen, the one that has the solution, the eternal solution, and that's God. And then you find yourself going through the same test again. Why? Because you didn't pass it the first time. It's because God wants you to react and have total confidence in him. Amen. Then let me handle it. Let me work it out. Amen. Praise God. Let me handle your children. Let me deal with them. You just give them over to me. I'll take care of the rest. You've put your hand in it long enough. I'll take care of it and watch what God's going to do. Amen. And God will do it right. Amen. But we get our hands all in it. It never goes right. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, and then Esther, we know she got in there and she got it, an audience with the king, and we know the story. Amen. Ended up being that the king found that she found favor in the king's eyes. Yep. He stuck out the scepter and said, come on, my queen. And finally, we know what happened. Haman, the one who produced the idea of killing the Jews, he was the one who was hung. Amen. Right. He was the one who was killed. The Jews, of course, we know they had to fight. Some of them died, but not all of them were killed as originally planned. Amen. And you know, sometimes God is the one who gives the bad news. I was thinking about this a while ago. I was thinking about when God gave the bad news to Ananias to go pray for Paul. Can you imagine that? Paul, Saul, who was killing Christians left and right, helping kill Christians, helping persecute, jail Christians left and right. He tells Ananias, who doesn't know what's been going on with Paul, and says, I need you to go down to the street called Straight And I need you to go over there and pray for Paul. Paul was the key word of that time. It's a key name, bad name. Amen? Bad name at the time. And he said, what? And he said, are you sure, Lord? You know what he's doing to the Christians. You know what what's been happening. He said, don't worry about that. Amen. He's been, I've been taking care of that. You just go and do it.
That's right. Amen.
And when he got down and obeyed the Lord, amen, he went and prayed for Paul, and Paul received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the scales came off of his eyes. Amen. And he was a messenger of the age afterwards. Amen. So bad news, amen, always turns to good news, amen, when you put the thing before God, amen?
Amen.
Bad news doesn't have to always be bad news. Bad news is an opportunity for it to be good news, amen, for you to shine. That's my opportunity to shine right there, Lord. Amen. That's your opportunity, amen, to get down on your knees and pray. When you haven't prayed enough, amen, that's your opportunity to pray. When you haven't read enough, when you haven't gone to church enough, that's your opportunity to do so right there. God is allowing it in your life so that you can do so. So not for you to get further away from God, but for you to draw closer to God. Amen. Why is God doing this in my life? For you to draw closer to Him. Amen. That's the reason why. There's no other purpose. If God loves you, how many believe God loves you?
Amen.
I mean, for God so loved the world.
Amen.
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 So He loves us.
Amen.
How much more His children?
Amen.
If He loves the world, if He loves the sinner out here.
Yep. Right.
Amen. If He loves the worst man that has ever lived on this earth. Amen. How much more you and I?
Amen. Right, brother.
That he takes care of us.
Yep.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, amen, there's a story there about King Jehoshaphat, amen. And King Jehoshaphat, he heard that he was going to be invaded by King Moab.
Yep.
And you can read the story there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but we can just read it here together in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If I can find it here. Actually, I already have it pulled up right here. No, I don't. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Excuse me.
Amen.
But we see there, Jehoshaphat hears the bad news that the king Moab is going to invade them, and the only thing he can do, he knew that Israel and him, they were a small people compared to Moab.
That's right. Right.
They couldn't fight against Moab.
Right.
So what does he do? He gets down to praying. Amen. And look what he says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Amen. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah.
Yeah.
Amen. He didn't start saying, start sharpening your swords. Start sharpening the chariot wheels, or start doing this, that, and the other. He feared the Lord, and he said, and proclaimed a fast through all Judah.
Amen.
And said, we're going to have God handle this.
Amen.
Amen. Because we can't do it. Amen. When we get to a point, amen, where we feel fragile. And that's why fasting is such a good thing.
Amen.
Fasting allows us to get to a point where we start feeling those hunger pains. When you say, I'm not eating for a while, because, you know, cooking and preparing food and all that takes time away from other things, right? So it takes time away from praying. It takes time away from doing other things. Well, you can pray while you cook and all that. But when you're not eating, amen, you're putting your body to a stress. Amen. That causes you, some way or another, it makes you feel fragile before the Lord. And it puts you in a state where you can You feel more dependent on God. You see? That's the reason why Esther called for a fast. And now here Jehoshaphat is himself. He's seeking the Lord and proclaiming a fast throughout all Israel. Not because they needed to lose weight. But because it makes you feel fragile. That also has the effects of fasting as well. But it makes you feel like fragile. When you feel those hunger pains and those rumblings, that's good for you. That's good for you, especially when you're praying and you're seeking God about something. Amen? And some of us, we don't know what that is because we don't do it. But I think it would be good for us to do it. Amen. In good times and bad times. Amen. Seek the Lord. Amen. In a fasted state. And you watch the Lord sees that. Amen. The Lord sees that. And don't go around saying, I'm fasting. And go tell people at church, I'm fasting and strong. Just like Jesus said, disfiguring their faces like the Pharisees and them, they used to do. They disfigure their face. I'm fasting before the Lord. You know, don't do it. You don't have to tell everybody that you're fasting. You just do it. That's between you and God. Amen. God knows. How many have done that and God has answered with prayer? God, fasting is a good thing. Amen. So here we find Jehoshaphat fearing in the Lord and seeing, amen, and proclaims a fast throughout all Judah. In verse 4 it says, and Judah gathered themselves together. In other words, the whole country gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities, Judah came to seek the Lord. Amen. I wonder if all of us here, just even in Gainesville, they did that. Amen. And we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we continue reading there in verse 5, and it says this. This is Jehoshaphat's prayer. Watch how he prays. And he says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? In other words, he's giving God praise. Amen. He didn't go in and asking him things first. This is a nice model to pray. Sometimes we start asking, and we don't even give God the praise. Give God praise and enter in with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Amen. You wouldn't enter and talk to the governor of Georgia that way. You wouldn't go in and talk to whoever, the president of whoever, of whatever country, and you wouldn't talk to him. Listen, I need money because, you know. No, you go in there with praise. Listen, President so-and-so, it's such an honor and a privilege to be in your presence. I feel so unworthy, but what an awesome, I almost feel like crying, you know. Now, how do you think that president would feel before you? He'd feel honored. But sometimes we don't know how to pray before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just go straight in asking. We just go straight in. He knows what you already have need of. All he wants is you praising him. All he wants is for you to worship. Amen. He'll take care of the rest. When you get in, and then when you go into in a praise and worship in a fasted state, my, that's even better. My goodness. That's a double whammy for ladies. I'm answering this daughter's request. Praise God. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing here. Amen. He's saying, and said, Lord God our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? He's reminding him of the things that he has done. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou will hear and help. Amen. When you do everything you can according to the word, then God's supposed to do the rest. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. In other words, when the children of Israel were passing by there, when they were leaving Egypt, they didn't mess with Ammon and this country. But here they are coming to mess with them. So that's what he's saying. And behold, I say, how they reward us. Look how they're doing to us now. To come, to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. And isn't that what David said? Amen. My eyes are upon thee, O Lord. Amen. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. What's this? With their little ones, their wives, and their children. It wasn't just Jehoshaphat, amen, doing this. It wasn't just the pastor at church doing it. It wasn't just the preacher or the deacons at the church just doing it. It was everybody in one accord doing this. Amen. And you can read the rest of the story. Amen. They prevailed. God fights for them. Amen. And they completely, and Ammon is destroyed. And they did not even have to lift not one finger. And you can read the rest of the story. What a mighty God. Amen. You don't even have to lift one finger with that problem in your life. You don't even have to raise your voice at your children. Amen. Just let God handle it. Amen. Sometimes we want to. And sometimes we allow ourselves to do so. And then you feel foolish afterwards. I'm talking as a parent. You feel foolish because you thought that you were going to resolve the issue by raising your voice and giving them the five-step process of how to. And they ain't listening. They're not listening. That's just not how it works. Oh, but they'll listen to somebody that models it, though. They're watching. You just model. Be a model of a godly man. Be a model of a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother. Amen. They'll watch that. And they may not do it right now, obviously, because they're not husbands and wives. But they've taken that into account for them to do it, for they to do it later on. Amen. Praise God. So, believe me, as I always say, I've got the T-shirt and the mouse pad and the hat to go with. I know it. It doesn't work. And all the parents said, amen. Amen. It doesn't work. But, oh my, when you let God do the work. Amen. When you let God handle the situation. And it may take a while. You know, it may take a while. But God's promised that he would give us our children. God promised it. Amen. God promised that he would give us the desires of our heart. Amen. And our heart is not for our children to see them lost. That's not our heart's desire. Our desire is to see them saved. Amen. Serving the Lord. But whatever needs to happen, Lord, do it. Amen. So good news. Amen. Bad news can turn into good news. Amen. Now it's interesting here in this situation that before they went in and there was a prophecy from the Levite Jehaziel. Amen. He came up and he told them, he said, go and the Lord's going to take care and fight the battle for you. And you don't even have to lift a finger. The Lord is going to do it for you. Immediately God went on the scene and gave them comfort through his word. Amen. And they had confidence in what they were. In what to do, you see? And so that is not the time. You see, Jehaziel was a Levite. So this prophecy came through him. And I don't know if he wasn't a prophet, but he's a Levite. So he must have been a priest. But you see, when problems arise in your life, that's not the time for you to stop coming to church. You see? When problems arise, that's not the time for you to stop praying, and that's not the time for you to stop listening to the word. Amen. When problems arise, that's the time for you to do it even more fervently, because Satan hates to see that. Satan hates to see consistency in a Christian. He wants to see inconsistency. Amen. When problems arise, that's not the time for you to get cold and backslid. That's the time for you to show others what God's going to do in your life and what God is doing in your life. Amen. Praise God. And that's what the people, that's immediately when the problem arose and the people prayed. Amen. Jehaziel immediately through by God gave a word to the people, and the people listened and they acted upon it, and the enemies were destroyed, and King Jehoshaphat and the whole country Judah prevailed. Amen. Praise God. We see another instance in Isaiah chapter 37, just several years later, of the king of Assyria. His name was Sennacherib, and he came and wrote King Hezekiah a blasphemous letter about how he had already destroyed all the other kingdoms around, and it was Judah's turn to be destroyed, or it was Israel's turn to be destroyed. And in Isaiah chapter 37, we read here, you can read it in verse 14, it says here, and Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And so what the letter was saying, if you read the verses before that, what the letter was saying was that King Sennacherib was telling him, how is it that you are going to escape the destruction from the Assyrians? Because all the other countries around, even though they had their own gods, they didn't escape. How are you going to escape? That's pretty much what he told them. And then he told them, do you think your God is going to be able to save you? The gods of the other countries didn't save them. How is your God going to do it? And that's what he told them in that letter. And so what Hezekiah does, he receives the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he reads it. And Hezekiah then went up unto the house of the Lord. He didn't went in the corner to cry. No. He didn't go. He didn't stop doing what he needed to do. He went, amen, got busy and went to the church. Right. He heard the bad news. He got busy to go into church. Right. Amen. Went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Spread the letter before the Lord. Amen. And said, Lord, this is what your enemy is writing. Amen. And you know your promise. And this is what he's saying. And watch what he says in verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, I love reading these prayers because we glean some interesting things from these prayers. You can even read and listen to even Brother Branham's prayers, and you glean some good stuff from that, from his prayers. And he says here, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. Look how he's doing. He's praising him. I want you to notice how these people pray. They are praising and worshiping him, giving him praise. And I think that's a model that we should take. You know, one time I might have said this here, but I was talking to a man who had been serving the Lord for a long time. And I was just maybe like in my late 20s at the time, maybe mid 20s. And he was like 40 years old at the time. And he told me, he said, Brother Luis, I just don't know. I get down to on my knees to pray, and I don't even know what to say anymore. He felt like he was all prayed out. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how can you be all prayed out? How can a Christian be all prayed out? There's so much to thank God for. There's so much to praise him for. There's very little to ask him about, because he already knows what you need. But there's so much to praise him for. And I just told the brother, I said, brother, why don't you just start praising the Lord? Like, get in there and just start worshiping God. Just raise your hands and just start thinking about his goodness, about the things that he has done, creation, the things that even happened in the Old Testament, how he opened up the Red Sea and all those things. And when you start doing that, I told him that when you start doing that, it starts opening up your remembrance of more things to praise him about. And then eventually you're there 30 minutes in that prayer closet just praising him. And you haven't asked him not one thing. Believe me, it helps. It works. Amen. Then you get to asking, and you ask in a different way. You ask with a different heart. Amen. Praise God. I didn't mean this for this to be a prayer instruction tonight, but this is where it's going. You know, the model of a godly prayer. Amen. It draws God's attention. Amen. When you go in the right way, and when you go in the right heart. Amen. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. This was Hezekiah's prayer. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. See, what does that have to do with the situation at hand? But that's how he got his attention. Right? Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. In other words, he's telling them they have destroyed all these other countries. Yeah, that's true. And have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. That's why they destroyed them, because they weren't true gods. Amen. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. That, watch the reason, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Amen. Amen. And you can read the rest of the chapter, and we see God prevails. And fights for Israel again. Amen. Amen. And not only that, the same plans that King Sennacherib had for Judah, amen, he does unto him. And he kills him. Later, the Bible says that he was in the temple praying, or in his praying to his gods, and his two sons go in and kill him. And they flee. So whatever the enemy has in store for you, that's coming to him.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So those are just two examples there, amen, of what people did when bad news came. They got down to pray. They got down to seek God. They got down to put the problem before him. Amen. King Hezekiah physically put that letter before God. Not that God couldn't read it, but he put it before him. Right? He meant business. Amen. Praise God. So that's the best thing that we can do, is seek him. He's the one that created us, saints. And if he knows, if he created us and created every part of our body, and even down to the DNA of our bodies, amen, how does he not know what to do, amen, with that little pain you have right now? Amen. Or that problem that you have in your body, amen? I'm not trying to diminish the symptoms and the things that we go through. Because when you got a pain, you got a pain. And it hurts. Amen. I went this afternoon talking to my wife, and we were there, Zoe and me and my wife, we were there eating before we came to church, and I wanted some tea, and I put a some hot water and put it in the microwave in a cup, and I guess I put too much. That cup was boiling. I went in and grabbed that tea, and that handle was hot, burnt my finger right here, and it still hurts, and it's still burning, but. And so what I'm saying that to say, I don't want to diminish the pain that we feel, the things that we go through, you know, Because unless you step into that person's shoes, you don't know how they feel. You see? You don't know how they feel. You, and so sometimes we just kind of, well, he'll come through it, but we don't know the details of those situations, you see, until you really step into the shoes of those individuals, right? Amen. You don't know how my finger feels unless you had gotten burnt, right? Unless you've had it in the past. But that's how it is, and that's how we should treat people. Amen. Amen. And we also see, amen, when how did Jesus react when he heard bad news? Amen. We never saw Jesus get all, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Never. We never saw that. Jesus never acted. As a matter of fact, I remember one time that even something terrible was happening all around him. A storm was taking place all around him, and he was in the back of a boat sleeping. As a matter of fact, the boat was actually rocking him more to sleep. As those waves were just tossing back and forth, and he, this is good sleeping. And that's how it should be with problems that come in life. Hey, amen. You know what? Whatever Joe Biden's doing, I can't help it. You know, that's, you know, Donald Trump, oh, well, you know, whatever, you know, just move on. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to lose sleep over the brother at church who, you know, his cat stayed up in the tree. And I'm not going to, you know, I'll try to see what I can do to help or whatever the situation may be. Amen. I'm going to let God take care of the situation. Now, if I'm needed, I'll be there. Right? If the brother needs my help, I want to be there. If the sister needs my help, I want to be there. Amen. But I'm not going to lose sleep over it. That's not how I got. If Jesus didn't lose sleep over it. Of the problems that was at hand at the moment. Amen. And he don't want you to lose sleep over things that you can easily put in his hand. All right. Amen. How did God act when Adam and Eve sinned? When bad news struck, amen, that his children, amen, had fallen. He already had the solution already. he had the solution already. So if you can just come to God when bad news comes in, amen, know that he already has the solution to those bad news. Amen. God already had the solution for them and had something ready, salvation, coats of skins ready for them. Amen. He had something prepared for them. And we know the story, and we know that had to happen that way. Amen. But that's how God wants us to react when bad news comes in. Amen. He wants us to know that he already has the solution. The problem never took him by surprise. The problem is only the avenue so that he can show the solution. Right? And there is no problem, there's no solution. There is no resolve. And there henceforth we don't learn anything. So we need to have problems and issues in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And here's a couple of verses that you can take. You can write these down. The brothers, I gave these to them. The things that we can do, amen, when bad news comes our way. Amen. In Psalms chapter 28, verse 7, it says this: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and I give thanks to him with my song." Sing unto the Lord. Amen. When the bad news hits and there's nothing that you can do at the moment, keep singing. Amen. Amen. Trust in God. Amen. Psalms 56:4. "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Right. Amen. Amen. Psalms 57:7. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." Amen. That's not making music by you screaming at the top of your lungs and saying, "Lord, what am I to do?" No. It's giving him praise. Lord, you're in control. Amen. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we must do. But sometimes we go into the mode. What is those? Well, I better not even go there. the ladies, the Vikings ladies that sing, you know, the opera. Well, we get into opera singing then, Lord, instead of just making a merry melody in your heart. Say it. Let them know, God, you're in control. And this is my version of me sleeping in the boat. It's praising you, Lord. Amen. Psalms 108:1 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my being." With all my being. Amen. And Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell in safety, secure from the fear of evil." Secure from the fear of evil. Not that evil won't come. Evil will be there. But you're secure from the fear of it. Amen. Secure from the fear of evil. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many have heard the story of the man who wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Horatio Spafford, I believe is his name. And I'm sure that there's probably movies, documentaries about it. But if anybody had symptoms in this hard time, you know, it was him. And that's why he was able to come and pen that song that he wrote, "It Is Well With My Soul." Amen. But he was a man who had everything going for him. He was a lawyer and he was a real estate investor in Chicago. And then when the great Chicago fire took place, he lost a lot of that, a lot of his investments that he had. And during the same time, he had a 4-year-old son who died of scarlet fever. So he was losing his investments, his way for making money because of the great Chicago fire, and his son passes away as well at the same time. So Horatio decides that he had 4 daughters, I believe, and then his wife. He decides that they have already been going through a lot. So he decides to send them off to England on a ship to just kind of have a little vacation. And he was going to stay back in Chicago to kind of help clear some of the mess that had been going on with all everything. And he gets back word that ship where his family was at, it wrecked with another ship. And that ship sunk. And all 4 of his daughters died. And that all at the same time. His wife was the only one who survived. She got to England and wrote Horatio and told him that she had survived, but you know the daughters were dead. But what should she do? And so what Horatio decides to do is he takes a boat and decides to go and meet his wife in England. But the story goes that as he's passing by the area where his daughters had sunk. And the captain of the ship tells Horatio, he says, "This is where the boat sunk, in the same area." And he said that all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord just comes upon him. You know, and he could have just started crying and bawling and just saying, "Lord, why? Lord, why?" But out of his inspiration right there, inspiration came upon him and he started penning those words right there on that ship as he was passing by the area, thinking of his daughters, that his daughters were probably down there at the bottom of the ocean. And he was thinking, and he started writing, though, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
amen,
whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
amen,
it is well, it is well with my soul. As he's passing by. And now we sing that song, amen. We sing that song. And we sing it not knowing the story behind it. But that man went through a lot. Had to lose all his family. He had received bad news in order to pen the song, that song that we all enjoy today. And that's one of my favorite hymns. Amen. But you can look up more of the story in detail about Horatio Spafford. It's a very, very interesting story. But, hey man, he had all the right to say, why God? Why, Lord? Why did you do this? Instead, he decides to write a song, to pen a song that has went through all the world. Amen. And what is it that David told us to do? I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to sing. Amen. I'm going to make melody in my heart. I'm going to sing music to the Lord. And that's what Horatio did. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Branham says this, and with this we'll finish. He tells us this because, saints, what God wants us to do in this world that we live in, amen, is to become, amen, ambassadors of good news.
Yes. Right.
Amen. We already have the ambassadors of bad news. All you got to do is turn on the TV. Or turn on YouTube, or turn on, go to pretty much any news website. Those are the ambassadors of bad news.
Right.
And it's all controlled by Satan. We know that.
Right.
Amen. But God wants us to be ambassadors for good.
Amen.
Ambassadors for good news. What Brother Branham says here in 1957, he says, a messenger. He says, you are a messenger this morning. You're a messenger of good news. Amen. Or a messenger of bad news. Oh, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, the messengers of the resurrection. Amen. What is the best news that we've ever heard? What is the good news? The good news, amen, is that he came to save. The good news that he resurrected from the dead. And that tomb there in Jerusalem tonight is empty.
Amen.
And he's not there, amen, but he's in the hearts of the believers dwelling in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if you don't know him tonight, you can know him, amen. Not just know him, but have been dwelt by his own spirit to live like he lived. You want to give up the partying? You want to give up the music? You want to give up the smoking? You want to give up the chewing? You want to give up the vaping? You want to give up all of that? Amen. I got good news. Amen. He can do it.
Amen.
I got good news that he's the one who's able to deliver you. You want to be delivered from depressive thoughts? You want to be delivered from all this thinking of about the future and uncertainty in your life? I got good news. He knows what to do.
Amen.
He was a young man. He was a teenager. He went through all that you are going through right now. And he knows, amen, what he can do to make you, amen, the way he desires for you to be. There's no guesswork in what he can do. All he is waiting for is for you to surrender completely to him. Surrender completely to his word. And he will take care of the rest. Amen. But that's the good news that I have for you tonight. The good news is his word. The solution to your problem is in this word. You say, well, I don't see it. All I see is strange names and weird stories and bloody stories and things like that. Believe me, your name's in that book. It doesn't say your name, but it says something that is attributed to you, that only it can affect you personally. But the only way to find it is for you to seek. And it's the only way to find. Amen. Brother Branham continues saying, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, and angels means messenger, the messengers of the resurrection, and we are God's messengers to the sinful world that Christ lives. Amen. In our hearts, He lives. In our spirits, He lives. And He brings us from the low, debauched life of sin and exalts us up and gives us a hallelujah in our soul and makes us new creatures. Amen. We are messengers, angels of the covenant. How wonderful, He says. Amen. So when bad news comes, amen, bad news leads for, it's an opportunity for good news. Bad news doesn't have to be bad news. Bad news can be good news. Bad news, this is my time to shine, Lord. Everything's not going my way. Praise God. You got a hallelujah in your soul. Start singing. I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is my opportunity to show the devil what he doesn't want to see. He doesn't want me to dance in the spirit. He doesn't want me to sing in the spirit. He doesn't want me, amen, to go to church and be happy and praise God with the believers. He doesn't want me to shake the sister's hand, even though she said something about me last week. I don't care. I love my brother. I love my sister. And the devil hates seeing that. Right? The devil hates when you do the opposite. Amen. That was bad news to me. But I'm going to leave it alone. This is my time to just sleep. The back of the boat. Amen. And my time for God to shine in my life. And let others see, amen, what God has done in me. Amen. That He can do for you as well. But if the sister never said something bad about me, then I wouldn't have had the opportunity to react in the proper way. Right? Yeah. You say, oh, you might think, well, only bad things happen to believers and it only comes from the outside. I don't know. The first ones that will come against you is your own family first. Your own household. Those are the ones that you have to battle with first. Amen. But those are the opportunities for you to shine. The negatives and the positive. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Sister Esther, can we sing that song? It Is Well With My Soul. I'm not sure what key we've sung it in the past. It's in C.
It Is Well With My Soul.
I just want to let the lady know here that you were spoken of really well this past Sunday.
Amen.
by Sister Mary and then the lady, the other girl that helps her on Sundays. And she's really appreciative of all the help you've given her. And you don't know... Sometimes we might think we're just maybe doing it for a job or whatever, but sometimes Jesus said, you know, that what we've done unto others, we've done it unto Him. When you've done it unto one of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. So we just thank you. Thank you for helping take care of Sister Mary. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that song, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, with my soul. with my soul.
Oh, can you say that from your heart?
Though Satan shall buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my
soul. Let's sing the next verse. Let's just scroll it up to the next verse.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole.
Sing the next verse.
The Lord haste the day when my faith shall be signed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Oh, the trump with my soul.
Sing the last verse. But Lord,
oh, but Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal.
Shout of the angel, the voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
Can you say that from your heart? No matter what's going on, Lord, it is well.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Sing it one more time. It is well.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a clap of praise? Amen. Thanks. Can you imagine Horatio Spafford? He would never have imagined that as he was writing those words, that 100 years later, they'd be being sung in a little small town in Lula, Georgia. He was just in the middle of the sea crossing to go see his wife. And this song has been sung throughout all the world, translated in many different languages. And all he was doing was just praising God, penning these words after the tragedies that he had gone through. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. And now his problems and what the things he went through, they became a benefit to us. So the problems that you go through may not be just for you, but they may be a benefit for others to see how God acted in your situation, God can do for me as well. And you can be that inspiration for others. If what God did for my children, he can do for mine. Amen. What God did for your children, he can do for mine. You see? If we could just look at it that way, amen, then we'll really have down and deep in our heart that problems are not eternal. But they have a beginning, and that means they have an end. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. All hearts, minds clear. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for the opportunity that we have had to open back the pages of your word. Lord Jesus, we see these situations, we see these examples in the word, and even, Lord God, in the prophet's own life, Lord Jesus, the different things that he went through, Father. Lord God, those were for examples for us, Lord Jesus, to see that you are an ever-present help, even in the time of trouble. And all you ask us, Lord Jesus, to do is to not fear, but Father God, to just sit, Lord, waiting on you, Father God. Relax, Lord God, knowing that you will take care of the situation. Father, help us to do so more. Father, because, Lord, it's our urgent desire, Lord God, many knee-jerk reactions to do the opposite. But, Lord God, we want to depend more wholly on you, Lord. I pray that you'd help us, Father. Lord Jesus, bless your people now as they're getting ready to head on out, Lord. And you just watch over them, Lord, and protect them. And Lord, you bless our sister here who's been helping take care of Mary, Lord God, Sister Mary. You just bless her, Lord. I don't know her name, but Lord Jesus, you knew her, and you knew her even before the foundation of the world. And I pray that you would just have your bless her, Lord God, and multiply it unto her, Father God, 100-fold for everything that she's doing for Sister Mary, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for her being here with us. Lord, we just love you and we commit ourselves into your hands. Continue to bless Brother Dale and the family, Lord God. Just give them strength, give them health, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord. And Father, we just commit ourselves now into you. We love you and we thank you and we pray these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just continue to sing.
It is well.
You may be dismissed.